Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
So, again, I started listening to what folks were saying in Minnesota and what they were talking about and this and that. And, you know, the governor there continues to talk about things that he obviously either has forgotten or doesn't understand jurisdiction and doesn't know who's on first, what's on second, or anything else. I mean, it's almost a joke. I mean, the guy really is a joke. I would love for him to articulate to anyone how many state or local criminal investigations were conducted by the Minneapolis Police Department or the state authorities in Minnesota of federal law enforcement actions in Minnesota for the last 40 years. He should be able to collect that data real easy, right? It should be out there, you know, and he continues to go on and creating this friction and just BS in his constituents and the nation to believe that there's something sinister going on with the manner in which the investigation's being conducted. I can tell you, after having spent 40 years in law enforcement, the JPSO never participated in an investigation of a federal agent. Nor did we ever have the expectation to be briefed, to be provided information, or anything of the sort during the course of that investigation. It just simply doesn't happen. And the truth be told, there's no obligation, if the roles were reversed, for state and locals to share or to bring in federal investigators on a state action. So why is he saying it? Why is he doing it? You know why. He's just stoking the fire. They feel they have an upper hand, some leverage on this issue right now. They are going to act in a despicable nature by trying to curry political favor over the death of a Minnesotan. I don't know that it gets any worse than that. And I love how crazy this has become, where mainstream media, print media, and others, hell, right here in this city, have already characterized this killing as a murder. They were interviewing a councilwoman on a New Orleans City Council. I read her quote. She called it a killing. It was a killing. The officer did kill someone, but it doesn't rise to the level of a murder. It hasn't been fully investigated. Could it be? Could it end up there? Maybe. I don't believe so. But it could end up there. But all of the reactions to everything that's going on here is completely and totally political. Why is that? Why are we going off the rails as it relates to this particular issue and this particular enforcement actions that are being carried out by ICE? It's truly amazing that we find ourselves at this point in this country, and that we have elected officials that are willing to put their very livelihood at risk going out and BS in the public. He knows this to be true, Tim Walz, that is. The crazy AG there in Minnesota, Keith Ellison, he knows it to be true better than anyone. The police chief there, he also knows it to be true. In fact, it's so interesting when you go back and you look at some particular incidents in Minneapolis and how they responded. In fact, there was a case on December 11th of 2025 where a Minneapolis police officer is summoned to a location based on some information that an individual there was revealing a gun to his mother. Now, this was an adult, right? So the police show up. The individual walks out the door with the gun in his hand, at his side. He's ordered to drop the gun. He doesn't drop the gun, and the Minneapolis police officer shoots twice at the individual. He missed. So there were no injuries. The police chief in this case, now, you and I could argue whether or not this is a good shoot or not. What I'm able to glean from the facts as reported is that the perpetrator never raised the gun. It was at his side. They gave two commands to drop the gun, and then they fired twice. We could argue on both sides of that case whether or not it's a clean shoot. But it was clear what the chief in this case was trying to accomplish, right? This was his man. And he wanted to make sure that this was going to be 6-2 and even, over and out, copacetic. And I quote, "This incident underscores the dangers of our officers face every single day. In a fraction of a second, they were faced with a life or death situation. I'm thankful that no one was injured in this situation, and I'm thankful for the professional manner in which our officers handled it." It's interesting because all of these same players have gone to the state of mind of the alleged perpetrator in the case of dealing with ICE. Why is there a different standard, right? The only thing that this chief happened to say about this particular alleged perpetrator is that they believe him to be intoxicated. But it seems as though he embraced the notion that it was okay for his officers to shoot twice. And probably was okay in the fact that they missed. I know these cases don't stand on all fours with one another, but they highlight the difference of when you have politics embedded in a series of events leading up to something. Was there any doubt that these officers were facing danger?
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
They tried to get the decedent, Miss Good, to comply. She refused. She put the car in reverse. They were trying to get their hands inside the car to get the keys to the car and turn the car off. She didn't help facilitate that. She put the car in reverse, then put the car in forward and started to move. And if you notice, on the backside of the automobile, there's an officer that's trying to move out of the way and ends up slipping and falling. The concrete's all very slippery. Everybody was saying that ICE was lying because her car wasn't stuck in the snow. They never alleged that her car was stuck in the snow. It was the car on the other side of her car, which was the ICE car that was actually in the snow. And that's why the backup guys were coming onto the scene, was to help them push that car out of the snow. They didn't have chains on the car, and they were just spinning out. But right away, we never went to the state of the mind. You know, we did go to the state of the mind. She was just trying to go on her happy way. She just happened to come upon this situation, which now that story's falling apart by comments that her own friends are making. But yet we have jumped to this being a murder. Being a murder. On the one hand, we have a shoot that's a little iffy, and we're thankful. And the incident underscores dangers, but not in this case. Not in the immigration case, because the immigration issue is too toxic. So we're willing to stare the obvious in the face and walk right around it. And these incidents are like 3.5 weeks, I think 3 weeks apart from one another, 4 weeks apart, not even 4 weeks apart from one another. It's amazing how differently this whole thing is being handled. Interestingly, the investigation of that shooting is being conducted by an agency similar to the state police here in Louisiana. And I guess one could make the argument as well. I mean, do we really believe that we're going to get to a just outcome? These are people that work together with each other and everything else. Because Walt is trying to have you believe that the FBI is in cahoots with immigration. They have two different leaders and they appear in two different agencies. And therefore, they don't believe that there's going to be the ability to get to a just outcome. But he would have you believe, in spite of all of what's going on in this fraud investigation, in spite of all of the whistleblower, in spite of all of the evidence pointing to him and other leaders in Minnesota that looked the way and ignored the fraud that's going on, that they would get to a just outcome in that case? Hell no. In fact, now they're even dressing down the U.S. attorney prosecuted the case. This is a real sad commentary about where we are in the leadership in politics in this country. Truly, truly sad. And I agree with the Vice President, J.D. Vance, yesterday when he called out the mainstream media referencing this case as a murder and classifying it as such. Have any of them talked to anybody in the car? Are they privy to any of the communications between the ICE officers and the two people in that automobile? Have any of them talked to any of the witnesses that videoed this particular incident? Have any of them talked to what was her purpose there? At first, the reporting was that she just happened to be driving by. Now she's taken on some brand. I'm not sure what it means that she's a legal observer for some leftist organization that monitors and follows ICE, distributes information about where they are, where they're going, and what they're doing in order to send out blast emails and notices to all of the residents in a particular geographic area to warn them that law enforcement is in their neighborhood. Think about the delta between the legal observer status and the role and the utility that one plays versus just randomly driving down a street after having dropped your six-year-old at school. Where that story is beginning to crumble and come undone, because it just so happens that Ms. Good was identified as being in numerous locations earlier that morning, placing her vehicle in between ICE officers and other individuals that they were trying to encounter. So yesterday I pointed out the best people in the best positions to be able to avoid that. None of that has changed. It started right there with Miss Good. No one would have ever got to the point of having an being apprehensive of whether or not they were going to be run over by a car or that some other people would be injured if she simply just complied. And whether or not she fears immigration or police in general is not a defense. You comply. Always think back to that Chris Rock routine. How not to get jacked up by the police, right? And I think he does it in the context of talking to kids. When they ask you to do something, you do it. But we're not talking about that here, are we? Not at all. In fact, we believe that we have this authority and this right now as it relates to immigration, that we can do whatever we want, why we want, when we want, how we want, because we feel like we're part of this momentum, we're part of this movement to push back on a statutorily created agency that's empowered to enforce federal immigration laws in this country simply because we don't like the federal immigration laws, and therefore our purpose is worthy. And we focus on the trials and tribulations of that sector of the population that made a conscious choice to violate the laws of our country. And then we are less than moral if we don't recognize and embrace that same position. And for those reasons, it's okay to just simply go out after immigration officers. Not that any of them are married or have children or God-fearing individuals. They're just doing their job. When they raised their right hand and took a constitutional oath to protect you by enforcing immigration laws, and that's their entire purpose, to enforce immigration laws, it's now become an incredibly bad thing in this country, and we have given carte blanche to anyone who feels otherwise to throw snowballs, to spit on them, to kick them, to punch them, to knock the windows out of their cars, to dox their family, to assault the officers, and the list goes on and on and on. And then we wonder why we have violent confrontation. Really? Are you kidding me? And we actually have a governor who should be a learned individual and should be someone who is a former teacher, should understand human nature, going out there trying to get people to believe that the federal government is conducting a secret investigation and that they've been locked out. And I would love for him to articulate a single case that he has investigated or any agency within the state of Minnesota of a federal law enforcement officer action ever. He's lying. He's misleading for the purpose of stoking the fire. And he's a hypocrite, too. But this is where we are in this country. I mean, it's absolutely incredulous. And we try to hide the fraud that's going on in Minneapolis. And let me tell you why that's bad. In fact, we just had an individual, a Somali individual, in the state of Maine, who just got elected to a council position in that state. And he's having to resign because he received money from a grant program. And he's also been under investigation as to whether or not he is who he says he is for a period of time now. And this just goes on and on and on and on. And you're going to find, and their reporting is that there's going to be more and more of these cases. Lewiston City Council member in Maine resigned less than 24 hours after his nonprofit was among dozens that received money raised for mass shooting victims. They raised mass shooting victims and they used the money for themselves. It was supposed to go to the families of the mass shooting victims that had occurred there. That bowling alley, if you recall, shooting. Iman Osman, a Somali refugee who heads the Lewiston Auburn Youth Network, stepped down from the council. He had just won this week. His organization received $65,000 from the fund established after the October 2023 shooting. He also faces felony gun charges and was under investigation for his residency. And he did not give a reason for leaving. Another example of folks taking advantage of others. It's totally inexplicable. And again, there's nothing there. This is all political, according to Keith Ellison and Tim Walz. This is Donald Trump's fault that there's all this fraud in Minnesota. Now Maine. We understand there's two or three investigations going on in Connecticut, and there's two or three other states that are beginning their investigations because when they went to do a little look-see, a drive-by, to see whether or not they may potentially have some issues as well, guess what? They hit the gold mine. Now they're all scrambling. Stay tuned. You're going to be hearing more and more of this for the next 6 months. We'll be right back.